Alrighty, that's North Shore today. I don't know where my voice went. Good morning. Hello, I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and this is Connections for this Thursday, March 26, 2020, as we just kind of roll along here on the North Shore. Big program today, lots of information, lots of interviews, and good stuff that we'll talk about as we get going here. Want to bring in the boys and say hello to Bill and Josh. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Rick and Josh.
Good morning, Bill and Rick.
Bill Rick. Sounds like Bill Ricka. All right, let me just kill the music here. Guys, I thought we should start off today with a little bit of information that maybe we don't have otherwise on the program with respect to interviews. And there was a story. I actually saw this on Facebook yesterday, and we're going to talk a lot more about Facebook, Josh, is in a little while. But come to find out, it's valid, and it has to do, Taylor Ann Bradford of the Gloucester Times is writing a story about a distillery in Gloucester. Let's see. The name of the distillery is Ryan and Wood Distilleries. It's up at Blackburn Circle. That is making vodka and hand sanitizer. Crickets.
Is it to be consumed?
Well, I don't think the hand sanitizer will be consumed, but they're making... they've switched from producing vodka to hand sanitizer to help with the shortage across Cape Ann, according to Taylor Ann Bradford. And she has, if I can go to page 6 here for 1 second, guys, and then I'll invite your discussion here. Just dropped the microphone. Hand sanitizer is available or will be available. The article doesn't really say if it's available in bulk yet, but it will be available at 15 Great Republic Drive in Gloucester. It's a 1-liter bottle. It looks like it's a bottle of vodka, except it's got the hand sanitizer label on it. And the 1-liter bottle will cost $30, and it will be selling these. It'll be donating these. The distillery will be to local food banks, medical providers, and people who work with the elderly. So that's a bona fide situation that Gloucester's distillery there, the vodka distillery, is going to be making hand sanitizer.
Great place. We've been there for a couple of Rotary meetings. They distill bourbon and other beverages, and that's a great thing for them to be doing.
I would think if you're going to take part in that, if you're going to buy both, you'd better put you better be careful as to which one you actually drink out of.
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, Rick, that's solid advice. That's very solid advice. That's good, yeah.
Well, this is why I went to school and I taught all these years. I mean, I can analyze news stories.
Masters plus 60, right?
Yeah,
it shows.
Those are a mile a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of other notes here. We've got Representative Bolton and his wife are self-quarantining. Apparently, the representative has exhibited some symptoms of the coronavirus, so we wish him the well as well, if you will. That's too many wells in there, but I think it made sense. He also has a young daughter, as you know, so hopefully they are safe and well. We also, there's a story in today's Daily Item that a Linfield man has passed due to the coronavirus, and that would be Stephen Richard, who apparently contracted the virus. And I have a couple of other notes here. Actually, there's an employee at Moynihan Lumber that has it. There's a story in the Salem News today that they're now delivering. So if you're looking for the lumber products or whatever, Salem News, just be sure that maybe call them, arrange what you need. But the Salem News is delivering those things. So those are a few things that I had.
Have you seen the teddy bear story?
Not
me. There's a Facebook story for parents of that have children home that want something to do. They will take the children for a ride around Gloucester, and people are putting teddy bears in the window, or a picture of a teddy bear. Or actually any stuffed animal, but the idea is that just entertainment, to go up and down the streets and see who has a teddy bear out there, just to build goodwill and support.
Well, the other thing I've seen is that a lot of places are putting back up their Christmas lights. I have lights out in the back patio that I keep up all year round. They're sort of decorative lights, and I have sort of like Christmas lights out on my front porch too, and I have them all year round, but I guess people are beginning to light up the neighborhoods again.
I've seen that on our street, and of course there are always those who just don't take them down, but maybe they're plugging them in, so that's a neat thing. That's a good idea. There's lots of little morale building things out there that people are doing on social media. I've been adding in every night something, moments in time, and putting in, you know, whether it's sports clips or news stories or TV commercials, cartoons, music, stuff like that, just as an entertainment.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I've seen, I don't know if you've seen it, guys, there are, I think it's called Watch Me Now or something like this, or Watch Group or whatever on Facebook, and a lot of musicians are giving live concerts locally all over the North Shore, and then they're just saying, you know, if you'd like to make a little donation, here's how you do it. But I guess another way to pass the time.
Elton John, I understood, was going to be doing a concert and get people all around the country to, all around the world to do concerts, each from their own place.
Hmm. Well, I was thinking a little more close, a little closer to home, but
that's
cool.
Great. No, they showed on television a school down south where the chorus was singing, but each child was in their own home.
Cool.
But it was like, you know how they stacked up the Brady Bunch picture, but they had 16 young women all singing from all over the state.
Were the Brady Bunch social distancing? They might have been, you know.
Could be.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Hollywood Squares, yeah.
Yeah, and I noticed the local news channels are, too. They've got people, which is really a much better effect as far as I'm concerned. Instead of having the talking heads banter with each other, they're in different rooms, it looks like. So
that when they're talking, they're actually polite now? That you on these talk news shows, you get historically it's been they're trying to talk over each other or talking simultaneously, so you really can't make out who's saying what. They're actually being courteous to each other and polite and talking like we're doing, is a surprise.
We actually have a video up on our North Shore Today post. Our video of the day is of some news bloopers that go back a few years, but it's actually pretty funny. And also, just a reminder, what's coming up on the show today, in just a moment, we'll be checking in with Patricia Gentile. She is the president of North Shore Community College. Man, she has a story to tell about how they are in session, but not in person, but in session. And also, a little bit later on, we'll talk with State Senator Brendan Crichton, there's still stuff going on at the State House, even though it's closed to the public, but he'll update us on a bunch of things as well coming up this morning.
Rick. All right. I'll be talking with Newburyport Vice President of the Chamber of Commerce, Mark Anicello. He's got some good stories to tell as well about what's happening up there. And, Josh, you have Leah Lovasco.
I have Leah Lovasco, who, along with Patty Wall, started a Facebook group just this past Sunday. And we're all in it together, Gloucester, and it's for Gloucester/Cape Ann people, apparently, about talking about what you can do to help one another and coming up with ways to help people through this crisis, and producing a lot of good results. And more than 3,000 people have joined this group since Sunday of this week.
All right, we'll be talking to you guys at the end of the program as well to wrap this thing up. Thanks, boys.
Okay, guys.
Very good. Bill?
Yep.
Okay. Very good.
See you then. Bye.
All right, that's Josh Arnold, Bill Newell, and myself. We'll be back, but we're going to have our first interview coming up in just a second as you are listening to Connections here on MSO. Spread the word. MSONewsports@gmail.com is how you get a hold of us as well.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore. North Shore Community College President Patricia Gentile is joining us here, and welcome and thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm very grateful to be here and to be talking with you and your listeners.
Yeah. The coronavirus, COVID-19, give us an update on how it has impacted North Shore Community College.
Well, as you can imagine, with over 1,000 employees and about 5,500 students enrolled for the spring semester, it's certainly been a major piece of work. But I'll tell you, from day one, safety and health has been our highest priority. So we're taking the necessary steps, as many of the other public higher education and face-to-face instruction, both for probably the and what our goal has been is to maximize remote work for our employees and remote teaching and learning for our students and faculty. And we've achieved a lot in a very short time.
I was talking, I have a friend who is also, who is an educator who is at the college level and has had kind of not done the online courses until just now, but he's getting into it. And so that, I mean, there's a learning curve on that piece for everybody as well.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you that our faculty and the staff that support the faculty have truly been inspiring. They have done yeoman's work in a very short time. Our spring break was 2 weeks ago, and we extended that spring break by 1 week, giving our faculty and our staff the time they needed to adjust to the new landscape that we're facing. And I can tell you that this Monday, March 23rd, we opened the majority of our courses again, all on a remote platform. And next Monday, the remaining few are opening up also on a remote platform. And that meant that over 1,000 courses had to be transitioned from face-to-face to remote during a very short time. And I just can't say enough for all the faculty and the staff that accomplished that. Some are still working at it, obviously. And right now, almost all of our services are remote only. That's all of our student-facing services. We know that a lot of our students, especially, are not able to have either maybe an internet access or technology equipment to take advantage of remote learning. And so in our Lynn campus, we have an open computer lab scheduled, has to be scheduled with some very limited hours and sanitizing and social distancing criteria to allow them to help. But we've also purchased Chromebooks for our students, which we're distributing to those who tell us that they don't have the equipment this Thursday and Friday so that they can take full advantage of the remote learning. It's, you know, we've been getting, we over the last couple of weeks, getting our employees with college laptops and cyber-secure remote access to the college databases and so on. But everybody from top to bottom has really worked hard to get this accomplished. And we're not closed. So a lot of people think the college is closed, and we are not. We are open. We are closed to the public, but open with restricted services to our employees and our students. And I have to give a shout out to our facility folks and to our campus police, who are working really hard to keep our campuses a safe and healthy place. So it's just been a turn on a dime to be able to continue to support our students, especially so that they can finish their spring semester. Many of them, this may be their last semester, and they're looking forward to graduating and moving on to their other goals.
You mentioned the Chromebooks. Is that just in for the down at the Lynn campus, or are they at the would be distributed at the Danvers campus as well?
Well, because our Danvers campus doesn't have public transit, and that's been a problem mm-hmm. we've been working on for a long time, we thought it probably is best to distribute that. We have 280 Chromebooks from our Lynn campus because we have public transportation there, so that everybody, even if you have a car, you don't have a car, can get to the Lynn campus, and that would be the most strategic place to distribute. Plus, we have a really big gym, and so it also gives us the social distancing opportunity we need to do this in a scheduled and healthy way so that we're not jeopardizing either our employees or our students in giving out those Chromebooks. So that's why it's on the Lynn campus.
I would think that a lot of your courses, though, I mean, moving forward, I mean, I know this is obviously temporary. You got to do what you got to do. But a lot of courses, your courses, there are a lot of hands-on kinds of things that you really need to do, you know, in your labs, if you will.
Well, clearly, that's one of our biggest challenges. And I can't say that we've totally addressed all of that. For example, we have a 1,000-hour clock program, a 1,000-clock-hour program on cosmetology. And obviously, a lot of that work is hands-on. So we're still figuring out what can go remote, how we make sure that the students get, what they need. It's allergy season.
Yeah.
And I have allergies. Thank God for spring, but goodness gracious. But to make sure that they get what they need as well during the time that they have left in the spring semester to accomplish their work. Science lab, same thing. A lot of it can go remote, and our faculty have been achieving that. But there are some things in some of our courses, especially allied healthcare, that are difficult to do remotely.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, that I was thinking of is, having taken a few online courses, you know, in the past, grad courses, is that it's not easy. It's not as simple to set something like that up. It's not as if you just click on a website, although it's probably a lot simpler nowadays than I go back a few years. But it does take a lot of setup to get courses online.
Yes, and of course, we had already had courses online during this semester, so those just continue online. But remote options include more than just online. For example, our learning management system, where you would go and click on online, also has what's called Blackboard Collaborate, and that provides you an opportunity to bring people together to chat, to give a lecture, to upload videos. We also invested in Zoom, like everybody else in the country, so that folks can hold large meetings and, again, work with their students. We use Google Hangout. We use Google Meet. And so there's a variety of technology tools that we're using to provide instruction and materials. And even our library is remote right now, so there's a bunch of materials and accessible stuff that people can even get through their phones. So the remote options go from online all the way to the old correspondence course type of approach. So, you know, it is to do a thoughtful online curriculum, you need more than just 1 week. But you're right, a lot has evolved since the old dinosaur days when I used to facilitate online to more shells. All of our faculty already had a Blackboard shell for every course, whether they taught it in the classroom or online. So we had a lot in place to begin with, but that doesn't take away from the enormous amount of faculty and staff have been doing over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
So I'm also guessing a lot of folks are not opting for the typewritten 3-page report that they'll mail in either. That's probably not going to be happening nowadays either.
Yeah. That's all gone. We have Google Docs and Google Drive and all of that. So, you the technology, without the technology, this just wouldn't be able to be happening. So, you know, as an old dog myself, learning new tricks, it's been quite an experience over the last couple of weeks.
Hey, one last thing before I let you go is that you are retiring in July, so it's not as if you're coasting in your final months at North Shore Community College.
No, I'm not. And I do joke that even though I gave my retirement announcement last year, I didn't leave fast enough, apparently. But truly, I'm very glad to lead the college with such a team of players who really are inspiring in the midst of a crisis and just jumped into action truly with keeping the students' needs and the mission of the college at heart. We've also done, you know, we've even gone beyond that. For example, just like every other institution, we've had requests for donations to the healthcare workforce. And our respiratory care program has recently donated or loaned to healthcare providers our respirators. So, you know, we're even involved still in the community and doing what we can to help the North Shore community get through this major epidemic as healthfully as possible.
Well, it's clear that at North Shore Community College, things are not on pause, if you will, during this time. That is for sure. Anything else that you want to share with us about all of this, our new reality here?
Well, clearly, this is an emergency that no one had predicted or expected in any way. And it's been a very fluid situation with the opportunity to make adjustments sometimes on an hourly basis, depending upon what's happening. And I wish everybody who's listening that they take the precautions that we've been advised to do. Wash your hands, practice social distancing, stay home as much as possible, and please get some rest and try to lower your stress level.
Well, sounds like some very good advice. And, Patricia, thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for the opportunity to tell the story about North Shore Community College.
Hang on the line here. That's Patricia Gentile, president of North Shore Community College, with us here on MSO News Sports.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're talking now with Mark Yannicillo, who is the vice president of the Newburyport Chamber of Commerce. And Mark, welcome to MSO.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Very good. These are really weird times. And I guess before we get into the meat of this thing, tell me a little bit about yourself, Mark. What's your relationship with Newburyport, how you got to be where you are?
So I grew up in Amesbury, so I kind of grew up on the other side of the bridge, and we had that nice friendly rivalry going with Newburyport. But as time progressed, I worked for Butcherelli's Butcher Shop. It's an Italian specialty store right over in Salisbury on Route 1, and I had asked to serve on the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce, which I did for 3 years, and the opportunity came up to come to work for the Chamber, and we had such success with our business through the networking opportunities the Chamber provided. I really thought that I could bring some added value with that intimate knowledge of how it works. And so here I am 2 years later.
I think that what's interesting is you mentioned Amesbury, the rivalry with Newburyport and Triton and all that stuff up there. As I look at it, being from Cape Ann with the rivalries here on the lower part of the North Shore, that area is sort of like a Cape Ann large. Everybody sort of meshes together. And is that sort of how the Newburyport Chamber works?
It is. So we're the greater Newburyport Chamber. So we represent businesses from all over. The meat and potatoes is obviously right in our city in Newburyport. We have a lot of businesses from Amesbury, Salisbury, some down towards the city in Boston that have remote workers that are in Newburyport, or just do business with some of the companies that are within the greater Newburyport area. So they all wanted to join to be a part of our community.
I think that's fantastic, and that is huge. And it's our strength obviously down here is with Bill and me. It's sports, and I can relate to that. It's almost like you've got a whole league there, that you guys are taking care of. Well, one of the things that drew my attention to the Newburyport Chamber was an article that came out in the Daily News of Newburyport about a week ago, I think it was, in relation to the emergency we're all under now. And it had to do with a peep in Newburyport that began donating pizzas to kids on lunch programs in the area. I guess it was to high school kids. But it was speaking to the idea that businesses, even though they might not even be open or functioning at full scale, are giving back to the community. So I wonder if you could talk about that, please, Mark.
Sure. So Port Pizza up in the Market Basket Plaza is the one that you were referencing, and they donated some pizzas back. Joppa Fine Foods, which is down in the tannery, wasn't open at the time. They were doing a little bit of takeout and some gift card sales, but they donated sandwiches and other lunch-type foods back to the people that are on that free and reduced program. Right next door to our office is Port City Sandwich. Tyke and his wife both also contributed. They offered free breakfast sandwiches and lunch as well. I know I'm bound to leave somebody out, so I'll apologize in advance. I know Moe's, that's up on Story Avenue in the gas station, is giving free sandwiches to the nurses.
Wow.
It's really a great sense of community. And even in these terrible times, you know, the business owners are recognizing that there's a need that's greater than their own.
Oh, my goodness. That is great to hear. I'm most familiar with the Angry Donut, which the Newburyport City Council president turned me on to on my way out of town there, and that is a great place. But, Mark, you speak so well, and I think it's so indicative of what's going on in the entire region, maybe, in fact, the entire country, and perhaps the entire world, about how people are reaching out to help other people. But in particular, Mark, I think that I'd like you to tell us about businesses, because the businesses are being slammed, they're being clobbered right now, and yet there are still people at the local level who are saying, okay, we're going to suck it up, and we're still going to help.
That's very true. You know, and it's a hard situation to be in for a lot of people. You know, the unemployment has gone through the roof. People are worried day to day about job security, but they're going out of their way. They're buying products maybe they normally wouldn't. They're buying gift cards, knowing full well that maybe some of these businesses, you know, unfortunately might not survive to the end of it so they can use it. But they're doing their part, and they're trying to pay it forward and make sure that the restaurants, the shops, the coffee places that they know and love will be there on the other side of this.
Let's hope so. Mark, what's your role right now in the Greater Newburyport Chamber? What are you guys doing at the moment in terms of either meeting, talking with businesses, running around the community via the phone, or just what's going on with you guys?
So right now we're pretty much just assisting with the damage control. We probably take upwards of 200 calls a day. From business owners, HR directors in general who have been laid off. You know, a lot of them are 1099 employees, you know, to small business owners that aren't sure if they're going to be able to file for unemployment. So we're doing our best to work with them. We've had great, great response from our state rep, Jim Kelkors, and our state senator, Diana DiZoglio. They both have been extremely helpful. They've pretty much dropped everything they've been doing. You know, they're filing bills and legislation to help protect these businesses. And they're taking phone calls personally, one-on-one, to help walk people through the unemployment process and trying to help them push it forward. There's been a lot going on with the unemployment office's WorkShare program. We're trying to work with a lot of our larger companies to see if that may be a good fit. We've been doing a lot with our restaurants, and I think, you know, the same can be said for down where you are as well. You know, we've been pushing hard for the governor to join the rest of the New England states and allow takeout and delivery, beer, wine, and liquor sales.
Yes, yes.
A lot of these people, they're sitting on tens of thousands of dollars worth of inventory. you know, not that it goes bad, but they're still required to pay their electric, their gas, their rents. The bills just keep coming in. You know, they still have to have the internet, the phones. Most of them are still trying to do some sort of a takeout business.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because I know Diane DeZoglio, as you mentioned, she was pushing for the idea of selling you know, beer and wine takeout along with the restaurants. And as you mentioned, yeah, here on the North Shore, on Cape Ann and so on, in the Salem area, restaurants are open, thank goodness. I do get my takeout once or twice a week, wash my hands about 90,000 times. But the idea of trying to increase the revenue for those who are still at work I think most people support that. And so, you know, I hope that continues. And I dare I say it, I know that we haven't peaked yet, but if you look at the rest of the world, it seems as though there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So are businesses in the area, are you looking at that, Mark, or is it still at the moment just crisis mode? How do we get to tomorrow?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think people have kind of realized that there's going to be a pretty substantial hit. You know, we've been doing a lot to advocate that there's got to be a lot more than just these loans that are being offered. I mean, loans are great. It helps them out in the interim. But, you know, for these businesses then to try and recover from, and it's not just this 2-3 week period, you know, the threat of the coronavirus has been going on for at least a month and a half, and it's going to be going on long after the state of emergency is lifted. So for them to get saddled with another loan, it's just another crazy expense that a lot of them aren't going to be able to take on at this point. And hopefully there'll be some talk with these insurance companies. I know most businesses, if not all, have that business interruption insurance, which it's not apparently covering anything that's a pandemic, but there's got to be a little bit of give and take here. When you think about how many thousands of dollars these businesses put into the insurance companies without a claim.
You know it.
Got to be a little take on that side of things.
Well, you know what? I haven't spent any money in the last couple of weeks. It's still in my wallet, and I can't wait to get out there and start spending. So I look forward to that. And finally, Mark, I know that people will support businesses like they never have before when stores reopen and so on. But in the meantime, again, I want to ask you, if you can, just to mention one more time, those stores, those owners, those business people in the area who, despite the fact that they're under tremendous pressure right now, are still reaching out to help others. And I think that is so important.
That's correct. You know, and it's really awesome. We had we have a restaurant group that's a committee of the chamber, and we had a call with them last Thursday for probably about an hour. And, you know, despite everything that was going on, the outlook was still positive. It was a productive call. Everybody was looking for a solution. You know, there was no bickering. There was nothing like that going on. Like, so we had Jim Kelcourse, our state rep, Diana DeZoglio, our state senator, were both on that call. And they're really in the trenches every single day fighting for these businesses. So it's a great thing. And I just hope that the people that are able to still spend the money, we'll go out and support these guys because they are still giving back to the community day in and day out while this goes on.
All right. That is Vice President Mark Yannicillo of the Newburyport, the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce. I appreciate that. This is MSO News Sports.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
State Senator Brendan Crighton is with us, and Senator, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
Yeah, great to be talking with you, Bill, and thanks for this opportunity.
Brendan, obviously we love to talk under different circumstances, but the coronavirus, COVID-19, the response by the state, the federal government, the city, and then towns that you represent are obviously huge. But first, let me ask you about the State House. I know you've been in there, but it's closed to the public, so What's the work environment and what's happening at the State House these days?
So, yeah, we closed the State House to the public last week. Prior to that, we had instructed most of the staff to work from home. Certainly, we continue to meet as a legislative body, but are doing so in informal sessions, which doesn't require every member to be in the chamber. Obviously, that would be a violation of what the executive orders have stipulated, but also just what public health experts have said. So, you know, for the time being, we continue to meet that way and to try to pass, you know, a variety of bills dealing with this current situation. But yeah, it's a new reality, and we're not unique. Obviously, every business has had to change the way they operate. We've been on Zoom and conference calls, you know, throughout the day. So we haven't stopped working by any means, and we're certainly in constant contact with our local officials, state officials, and also federal officials as well.
And we probably very well versed on some of the federal responses that are actually in the legislative process now, and they passed by the Senate just last night and over to the House now. But what are some of the legislative pieces that that the Senate or the House is looking at in Massachusetts?
So there's been a number of bills we've already passed, some dealing with unemployment insurance, just creating a little more flexibility there. We have some scope of practice stuff coming up, essentially trying to make it easier for different levels of, you know, medical professionals, allowing them to do more than they typically would in a medical setting. Obviously, the demand for health professionals in an emergency like this greatly exceeds the supply, so we want to make sure that hospitals have the resources in doing so in a safe way. So Senator Cindy Friedman, who chairs the healthcare financing committee, has been working on this for quite some time. I think even if the emergency didn't happen, we were prepared to act on it. There are a number of other kind of some of the bills we're working on aren't all that glamorous, but just need things needed to keep governments running smoothly. So you know, some of the requirements around local elections and things like that, giving more flexibility to cities and towns to push off you know, town meeting. Obviously, we can't have a room full of people meeting to decide what next year's budget's going to be. Also, along elections, too, giving municipalities a little flexibility to extend or delay elections. So some of the big pieces I've been focused on as the housing chair have been around keeping people in their homes, either through, you know, moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, but also looking at the much-needed resources for homeless shelters across the state. Obviously, it's hard to, you know, distance yourself or to isolate yourself when you're in a shelter setting. So the big fear is that, you know, someone, you know, should be exposed to the virus and be forced to live in a setting like that. We need to make sure that there are additional spaces available as well as personal protective equipment for all of those on the front line helping out.
Brendan, when you look around at some of the communities that you represent, in particular, I guess the city of Lynn, any unique responses? It seems to me everybody is kind of just falling in line with the direction from the governor, now, as you would. But there's clearly a lot of things that school districts and public health folks really have to be ramping up at this point, or have ramped up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, the executive branch, the legislature, and, you know, the municipalities have all stepped up in kind of their own way. I mean, we're all working together, but there are things that individually folks needed to act on. So, you know, locally, I think each of our communities, you know, established some form of a public health either task force or command center to really make sure that they're looking at all the different pieces, which, you know, it requires bringing – you know, department heads and public safety and public health officials and really any stakeholder together to make, you know, decisions fairly quickly, which, you know, for us in the legislature is something we're not super accustomed to, as we pride ourselves on being a deliberate body that has, you know, debates and we carefully consider every issue and we want the best, you know, policy possible, which, you know, still remains to be true. But I commend the Senate president for creating a structure in our branch that, you know, allows individuals to, you know, focus on their area of expertise and work with different working groups and kind of bring up, you know, a wide range of issues to the body as a whole, but also to work on them in these individual working groups, which, you know, so far has created some really great policy ideas and I think is working well. Additionally, you know, give credit to the administration for making Secretary Sutter's regularly available to membership. I feel like right now everyone's working well together. If I call a secretary on a particular issue, you know, they're going to pick up the phone and go hearing from other legislators as well. So, you know, I hate to say it, but all the things that were super important to us legislatively 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago have definitely been put on the back burner as we have focused on the immediate safety and well-being and health of our residents, but then at the same time preparing for the economic impact that this is going to have, and you know, making sure that people can pay their rent, pay their bills, and move forward to bring us back to where we were before this hit.
Let me, I'm down to my last two questions, Senator, but let me ask you about the business piece of it. Obviously, health is number one. We get that. That's been on the front burner now for the last couple of weeks. But you can't help but think about what's happening, as you were mentioning, other than the business aspect to it. Obviously, the personal financial situation for individuals, but businesses, I mean, there's so many small businesses in your district alone, for sure, but and big businesses. But, I mean, the economic impact on businesses is what are you hearing from business people? Anything?
I mean, they're in very difficult times, and, you know, I think it goes across, you know, most sectors. Obviously, you know, there are a few right now that are probably inundated with, you know, customers, given the nature of our stay-at-home situation. But for the most part, folks are hurting, and they're going to need the government to step up, and that's, you know, starts at the federal level, which I'm pleased to see this package moving forward. Hopefully it is signed and the money is sent out quickly, the largest, you know, stimulus or relief package in the country's history. But I think we have to learn from the past in this. And when you look back to the recession and, you know, the stimulus at that time, we didn't go nearly as far as we should have. I think, you know, we should inject as much money as we can in the economy with certain safeguards, making sure that small businesses can return to, you know, the profitable businesses that they were before. And I think we should go above and beyond. And worst case scenario, we invested a little bit more money in the economy than we should have. The federal government obviously has the flexibility to inject that type of money. We in the state have a constitutional responsibility and requirement to have a balanced budget every year, so we can't borrow our way out of this. Thankfully, our rainy day fund is the highest it's ever been. That's been a series of pretty responsible investments over the past few years. That will help us out, but we're going to need money from the federal government to get through this. So this is a good first step, a very big step for them to take on the stimulus, but there's going to be a lot more needed. And, you know, I suspect we're going to be in this situation for quite some time, at least on the economic end of things.
Yeah. Brendan, final last question. As far as the Crichtons, how are things going? Any personal stories or updates for us as you deal with this?
I tell you what, I have these for every teacher and child care provider out there, because right now my wife, she works in the state senate as well. She is an essential employee. She's in there now. We have an informal session today. So when she's working, I have to work from home and vice versa. When I'm in there, she has to be here. Two children under five, they're bundles of joy, but I can't wait till we're back in school and back in childcare. And their grandparents, both my wife's parents and mine, are a huge help normally. But obviously, in this situation, you know, older folks are, you know, should have even more caution than the rest of us in terms of social interaction. So we've only been able to communicate with them really through phone calls, which obviously is hard for the kids not seeing their grandparents, but also for the grandparents, you know, missing that role they played and getting to see them face to face. So, like everybody, taking it day by day, I'm excited to get back to normalcy. I think we'll appreciate that, you know, interaction all that more.
Well, Brendan, due to my elderly status, I won't be able to help you with the child care thing. I'm sorry about that. But,
but you know what? As I said elderly, I realized that was a something my father and mother probably wouldn't care for. So
no.
Over the age of 50, yeah. To keep it very general and broad for them.
No, I appreciate that. I know you're very sensitive, Brent. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, Brendan, anyways, best of luck. Be safe. Wash those hands. Social distance. It seems like you're doing that. But anyways, thanks for your time. And
Bill, do you mind if I just I don't think I mentioned it earlier, just thoughts and and thanks and gratitude to all those folks on the front line, whether they're providing, you know, school lunches for kids at the drop-in centers or the public safety officials or all the folks putting their own selves at risk, working hospital settings or other settings where, you know, there are large groups of people. Obviously, there are a ton of folks out there that aren't able to shelter at home or stay at home. So to all of them, we wish them the best and express our sincere gratitude. So thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah, well said. Senator Crighton, thanks so much for your time. And again, be safe. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Bill. Take care.
Senator Brendan Crighton here with us on Connections here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. And we are now going to our next guest right away here. Josh, who do we have next here, please?
We have Lisco, who is a sister who, along with Patty Wall, has created a very unique Facebook group. And we're going to let her tell us about it. Leah, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. So the program, the Facebook group is called We Are All In This Together. And Patty Wall created it on Sunday after seeing something similar taking place in Rhode Island. And she thought, oh, this is a great idea for Gloucester. So she invited me to join as a member. And I reached out to her and asked her if she would like help being an administrator to the group because I knew this thing was going to take off. So that's how the two of us got started, and she started this on Sunday, and as of today, we have 3,484 members, and these are all Gloucester people.
That's great.
So what we do, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what we do is, if people have a need, thermometers or masks or food or toilet paper, they post it there and we help connect people and we help get it to people.
That's great. What a and I've seen some of the stories on there. There was a story about somebody couldn't afford or couldn't get eggs locally and something came out of that. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, so we had someone reach out that has chickens and said, I have 14 dozen chickens for whoever needs them. I will drop them off, you know, at your door, and I will reach out to my other friends with chickens because the cost of eggs has skyrocketed.
Wow.
And you can't find them, honestly.
I didn't realize that. Wow. That's kept growing like toilet paper, I guess.
Yeah. Haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah. So, and then there are fishermen that are bringing in fish for people, and what else?
Yes, we've had fishermen deliver fish or lobster to people requesting it. Some have been given to them. Some people have paid for it. We've had people reach out that have autoimmune deficiencies that can't get out of the house. They can't go grocery shop, and they don't have local family. So we've had people drop off bags of groceries, cooked meals that are frozen that they can reheat. Those are just some of the examples, and it's just wonderful to see how everyone has come together in this time.
Leah, if I could interrupt here, Josh, there's an amazing post on the website, We Are All In This Together, Gloucester, from James Pope, and he is the IT director for the city. And he has a recommendation. He said that, you know, there are some people in Gloucester who cannot afford internet, but they have Chromebooks that the kids brought home. And what he is suggesting is, you know, maybe you could turn off your Wi-Fi password. And what he has done, he turned off his Wi-Fi password so that in the immediate area where he lives, people can connect to his Wi-Fi. And he just suggests using the password Gloucester in small letters, Gloucester. So stuff like that, Leah, you've got all kinds of helpful things on there that may not necessarily involve people getting out of the houses to do.
That's right. We've seen a lot of different things for children that are home, different activities, different ideas. Another group started, you know, the teddy bear hunt. Put a teddy bear in your window so families can take a ride around town and try to search for the teddy bear. So a lot of great things have come out of this.
And if people do put a teddy bear in their window, should they be posting that to the site?
I believe they're posting it to, they created their own group now, so I believe they're posting it to that page.
Oh, okay. Right. And so what did the, I know there was a move up front with some of the respondents to do some things with masks for the health community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So there's a shortage, as with everywhere, for surgical masks. So there's a bunch of sewers in the group that have started making fabric masks that they can put over their surgical masks, and the ones that are made can be washed. So they can use them again, and they don't have to worry about that. And they've been going to hospitals, home health aides, nursing homes. They've just been going everywhere. We've been, you know, trying to help everyone that we can that we know who needs them.
Well, that's great. That's really good news. Anything else that you'd like to share with us, success stories or the things that jump out at you that were caught your eye, that were acts of real extreme kindness or something?
One thing that really jumped out to me was, you know, a lot of people are out of work and don't have a lot of income for groceries and so forth. So we did have a member go on the local grocery store's website or go into the stores and pick up some gift cards and deliver these gift cards to these people. And that really stood out to me.
Great, great. Well, I want to thank you for the you and Patty Wall for undertaking this endeavor. It certainly seems to be doing a lot of great things for our community. It's a great example of the resilience of the American people and certainly the Gloucester people. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be a guest here on Connections.
Well, thank you for having us, Rick and Josh. We really appreciate it. And stay safe.
Okay, you too. And if people have yet to join, what do they have to do?
Well, we have it open to Gloucester residents. They just need to search Facebook for the group. We are all in this together. Read the rules, accept the rules, and they can join.
Great. Thank you again.
We have very, just one more thing.
No, go.
The rules are very, very easy. Be
okay.
Kind and courteous. No political posting, no bullying, and that's it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, this is Connections on MSO, and we'll be back with a wrap-up here in just a minute, so please stay with us.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos. Plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and Bradford Tavern.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Window and any other brand in the United States. They do Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
Check out live sporting events on MSO News Sports and exclusive interviews with coaches and players. When it comes to local news and sports, MSO News Sports keeps you connected to the big stories.
All right, a very, very busy hour. A lot of information out there, starting with Bill's interviews and then Josh. And we talked with a lot of people today, and I'm just wondering maybe some final comments, and we'll start with Josh.
I just appreciate how many people are impacted by the crisis that the world finds itself in. Feel-good stories are coming out of it. People rising to the occasion, no matter where they are, and trying to thinking not about themselves, but thinking about what can I do to help somebody else. So, how can I help it? Someone who's less fortunate than I am. And that's what they're doing, and what a great thing to for us to do, and for us to be able to communicate to the world through this radio show.
Bill, do you have some thoughts?
One thing that I think about sometimes is that I think there's a big role for government to play in all of this, and we're seeing how government does have a role to play, as you heard Senator Crichton say, as we know what's happening in Washington. But there's also the thing about our country, we're different from others, is that business is such an important part. Without business, we don't have a government. Without successful business, we're not unable to do as much as we might want to do. And I think it's great to hear these stories, whether they be from Newburyport or wherever, of businesses stepping up and just doing the right thing, because there are a lot of good people in business, and sometimes they get beat up, as we hear, politically. But traditionally, when our economy's done well, our government does well, if you will, and we do help those in need. And so there's always a balance there, but without the businesses, we would be nowhere. So it's great to be able to focus on them. And, if I were a businessman, which... I'm not really, but you'd be kind of reeling right now, and you'd be really, your natural instinct would be to kind of, coil up, if you will, and just hunker in and figure out what it is that you can do. And I get that, and that's, businesses have to do things, as we heard from Brian Kelly yesterday in an interview we did with him from Kelly Automotive, that times are not good for the automotive industry, but yet on the other hand, you see these restaurants and people, things do, and they're doing some great things.
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of good that comes out of it, and I know that, as I was mentioning to Mark Yannicello, I've got money in my wallet to burn right now, Bill, which is kind of weird because there are so many people not making any money. But not that I have a lot of money, but my point is that as soon as these businesses open up, I'll be out there locally. And I do want to mention that we will have more information coming up. Speaking of business, the president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank, Bob Gillis, should be available today for an interview, and we'll post that as soon as we can get it. I also hope to be talking with Senator Bruce Tarr this afternoon. I guess there's a session of the Senate that's taking place, and I don't know if it's remotely or actually at the State House, but we'll be talking with Senator Tarr later. And should be checking in with the assistant DPW director up in Gloucester, Joe Lucido, as well. Any final thoughts, Bill?
Yeah, we'll also be posting an interview that we'll do later today with Senator Joan Lovely from the North Shore. So, again, all these people have been very active and very on top of things. And, I hope that, we've become better, get stronger with all of this adversity that's impacting us. But it's a long haul. It's a long haul.
Well, you said the magic to me. The catchphrase is more than a catchphrase. Just do the right thing. We got this thing in New England about do your job, and I think do the right thing, and people are doing it. Final thoughts, Josh?
I think that is the right thing. Just do the right thing and see how you can help someone else out. Who have you reached out to today, or who haven't you talked to in the last 10 days, call them up, email them, message them, see how they're doing, see what you can do to help them out.
Well, as a guy named Pythagoras who used to say at the end of the day, he used to do a self-evaluation, and he'd start off with three things. One, what good have I done? Two, what have I failed? And three, what have I not done that I ought to have done? And all of that points to do the right thing. Boys, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. That's Josh Arnold, Bill Newell. I'm Rick Moore. Everybody be safe and do the right thing. This is
so
Connections.
Rick,
yep, go ahead.
I know you want to wrap this up, but, I'm thinking that is there a way that I could deliver a $60 ham sandwich to your house today?
$60 ham sandwich. Whoa. All right, let me check my wallet.
You have money to burn.
I do.
You want to help out the small business guy.
Tostitos has those Lisa Joy subs that are like 2.5-3 feet long.
Yeah, but I think the idea is Bill's going to make his own. I don't know, Bill, do you wash? I know how often you wash your hands. I'll see what I have in my wallet. I'll email you.
You got it. Okay.
We'll call Tostitos and just say it's Rick Moore and deliver it.
There you go. That'll work, too. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Take care.